Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
You start on this planet, you start on 5670 Granny White Pike, and you take a zoom out and go to millions of light years, that's what you get. That is the creation that God has done. Details are important. Details are highly needed in our lives. But sometimes, when we focus too much on the little details, we tend to lose the big picture. We tend to lose the bigger picture that God has for us. Welcome to Bethel tonight. Thank you for joining us here and online and listening to the Word of God that the Lord has for us. We are in this series called AD, The Bible Continues, and we're examining the events that happened after the resurrection of Jesus and how it impacted the world. Simple, small details in a tiny little corner. Every time I watch this video, I just think of how small is Jerusalem, how small is the Middle East, how tiny is planet Earth compared to our galaxy and compared to the entire universe that God has created. When you zoom out, your perspective is different. When we're in front of our daily problem, and please, I'm not making fun of our problem. I understand problems. I can zoom in as much as I zoom out. I can zoom in and look at how difficult circumstances in life can be. And when you cannot pay a bill or you face that you got to go to the hospital and you don't have an insurance, I understand. I have been through difficult situations. I know how difficult it is. The disciples in the Bible have been through worse situations. At least, I've never been tortured for the cause of Christ. They have. I have not been crucified for the cause of Christ. They have. But I understand human dilemma. I understand the human suffering. I'm not making it small or unimportant. I just want to put it in perspective with the bigger picture. Tonight's word is the bigger picture. I've been meditating, praying, and preparing this sermon and believing God that God has a purpose and a destiny for you tonight. You are not here by chance. You didn't tune to BethelWorld.tv by chance. You didn't come to Granny White Pike by chance. God has a purpose and a destiny for you. He brought you here tonight to remind you that there is a bigger picture higher than what you and I live day in and day out. As we examine the episode that we just saw on TV on Sunday, if you haven't witnessed it, it was a great episode, but it had some awkward details. And when I zoom in on the episode, I see the great things that the producer did, and I see some weird stuff that as a pastor, I have to say, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible that Peter lied to the high priest. That's not in the Bible. That doesn't go with the character of Peter. It's not in the Bible that Stephen wanted to hug all the attention and become the man. It's not in the Bible. The Bible said that he was a humble man, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't say that Peter appointed him to serve. The Bible says that the congregation chose him to serve because he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. So those little details, I can look at them and say, oh, I can zoom in on that. But when I zoom out and I look at the big picture, millions of people Sunday night were watching that miniseries and listening about Jesus Christ. Millions of people around the world, thousands of churches are taking this material and are preaching the resurrection of Jesus and the power of the resurrection. So when I zoom out, I see the bigger picture. Sometimes when I'm in front of the details bugs me. If you forget everything else I say tonight, please remember this. Details are valuable and important, but sometimes when we fixate too much on them, our struggles, to-do list, we tend to lose focus of the bigger picture. Details are important, but sometimes when we fixate too much on them, we tend to lose the bigger picture. And I believe that God has a bigger picture for every one of us, and this is what I want to share tonight. When you look at Acts 5, 6, and 7, you see some interesting details. The disciples had a lot of struggles. In chapter 5, they were taken by the Sanhedrin, and they were beaten up in public, humiliated publicly. And those were not kids. They were grown-up men. They were men that had families. To be beaten beaten up by your own religious leaders, you would probably leave the church if we do that, won't you? Imagine you come on Sunday morning and the leaders beat you up. That'd be bad, right? That's what they did to them. They went to worship at the temple and they were taken aside by the Sanhedrin, the religious leader, and beaten up publicly. Terrible detail, terrible struggle. But look what the disciple says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. They went on from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Because they look at the big picture, not the small one. The small one was ugly, being beaten up, suffering, crying, bleeding. The bigger picture, oh, I'm worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. That's cool. Big picture. Isn't that interesting? When you fly and the plane is on 30,000 feet above this planet, you see things very differently. I get the privilege of flying all over the world. And my favorite time is when the plane is taking off or when the plane is landing. A lot of people are scared of that. I love it because I get to see the city that I am going to or coming out of. And when I'm flying out of Nashville, you don't see traffic, you don't see noise, you don't see all the troubles that I see every day on I-40 and I-65 and I-24. You only see a beautiful city with amazing houses. Everything looks so cool. But the plane lands. And when it lands, it's a little bit different. Because you get with life's normal details. God is calling you tonight to zoom out and to look at the bigger picture that He has for our life. What's God's bigger picture? Let me suggest to you tonight that God's bigger picture starts with creation. God's bigger picture does not start in the book of Acts. God's bigger picture does not even start in the Bible. God's bigger picture, the picture I want to paint to you tonight that you can take with you home, starts in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the bigger picture. It didn't start with our sin. It didn't start with Jesus on the cross. It didn't start with our mistake. It started with God. The bigger picture starts always with God. Genesis 1:1 starts saying, in the beginning, God. So the bigger picture has a beginning. In other words, there have been times that there was no picture. There have been times that there was only God. Because at some point, we don't know when, million or gazillion years ago, I don't know, He decided to create the universe. In the beginning, God in His majesty in the spiritual realm decided to create the video that you just saw. Millions and millions of galaxies, and in every galaxy, millions and millions of stars, and around every star, a few planets, and one of the stars, one of the planets around one of the stars is our Earth. God created that in the beginning. That's how the big picture starts. It starts with a great God. It starts with creation. And I'm saying that on purpose. I respect anybody that doesn't believe in creation, and I respectfully challenge them to prove to me anything different. I love science. I am not one of those that just yells. I love to study. I read. And to me, creation makes way more sense than evolution. Creation is much more logical. It's much more acceptable because it makes sense that a smart dude sat down and designed the Honda Accord that I'm driving. Okay? It makes sense. To believe that a little bit of metal and a little bit of plastic suddenly got together and made that Honda Accord is not believable to me. It makes very little sense to me. It makes much more sense that a great designer designed that vehicle and put all the small details that are in it, because one tiny little detail, and I spent hours trying to figure out why the car is not starting, because one little detail went out. Now, compare my little Accord with that universe that you just saw, with all the amazing details, the fine-tuning that Pastor Rice speaks about in his book, God's Not Dead. Amazing fine-tuning in every little detail. It makes sense that a great designer created that universe. Genesis simply says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in the beginning, it's God. Who is God? Not just our creator. The Bible teaches about God that he is a loving God, that he is a real person. He is not just God. He's a real person that wants to have relationship, that have feeling, that have a heart, not a material heart, but a real heart of feeling, that wants to relate to us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God's big picture starts with creation. Why is it important for us? I mean, all of us here are Christians and love God and believe the Bible. Why is it important for us to remember that? Because the devil is, in a sense, smart enough to take that away from our eyes many times and let us focus on our problem, our inadequacy, the little things that we have in our life that we cannot fix. The devil is sometimes able to take our attention away from what's really important. What's really important tonight is to remember God created the universe. He created you and he created me. And he put us in this creation that he made for a destiny and a purpose. Okay, God's bigger picture is not only creation. It starts with creation, but God's bigger picture includes redemption and salvation. When God created the universe, created this planet, created the Garden of Eden, and finally he created Adam and Eve. The Bible said that he created them at his image and resemblance. He created them at his likeness. And his plan, his purpose, I'm zooming in now, his plan and his purpose, creating Adam and Eve, is for them to be the king and queen of this planet, to give the stewardship of this planet at their hand. His desire was to work with them and govern the entire creation with them. That was his purpose in creation. He didn't need to create us. Are y'all following me? God did not need to create us. He created us because he wanted to. He didn't create us so we can sing songs to him. He had the angels. They sing way better than us. Even our amazing worship team here at Bethel that always amazes me, the angels sing better than that. He didn't create us for that. He created us so we can govern creation with him. What creation? You've seen the video. It's big. It's a lot. It's not just 50 meter or square feet or whatever you want to call it. It's big. He created us so we can co-govern with him creation. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth and created Adam and Eve. And then something happened. We know chapter 3 in Genesis. We know the fall. We mess up. Why did we mess up? Because he gave us the option to mess up. I've ministered to a lot of people that tell me, I wish God didn't give us free will. I wish he wouldn't allow us to sin. I wish that it's just, we just obey him and there's no problem. And my response is, you are using your free will to wish that. You are using your free will to choose not to have free will. You cannot imagine a life without free will because you've never experienced it. It's not a life. It's not, it makes no sense. It's purposeless. God created us with free will so we can willingly follow him. But he knew we're going to mess up. It's not like in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate from the fruit. God was like, oh man, they messed up my plan. What am I going to do now? Who's going to help me? No, he knew. And he had his plan already prepared for redemption and salvation. But he had no option. He had to create us, giving us free will. Giving us the option to love him or to leave him. Because if we don't have that option, then we're not really loving him. If you don't have an option, you're not really loving him. I can say I love God because I have options. I have options. I can go with any other religion. I can go being an atheist or agnostic or rebellious against God and just live in sin. But I choose not, and I choose to be here and worship him. That's why I can say I love him, because I have options. God created us, gave us options, knowing that we're going to mess up. And knowing that our mess up is not going to be inexpensive, it's going to be highly expensive, because somebody had to pay for our mess up. Somebody had to pay the bill, and that somebody was himself. He became man in Jesus and died the death that we should have died, paying the price of our sin. Can you imagine, while God is creating Adam and Eve, he could see in his foreknowledge of the future, he could see the cross and his suffering on the cross, and he still created us. He still created us. Now, if you can go with me to Acts chapter 7, and let's just read the story that Stephen so eloquently preached to the Sanhedrin before they killed him. See, the bigger picture starts with creation, but the bigger picture includes redemption and salvation. And here's the story of redemption and salvation. In Acts 7, chapter 7, verse 2 says, "And he said, hear me, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke to this effect, that in his descendants would be, that his descendants would be aliens in a foreign land, and that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. And whatever nation to which they will be in bondage, I myself will judge, says God. And after that, they will come out and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. The patriarch became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. Now a famine came over all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction was it. And our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was a grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time." You know, and he just goes on and shares the story of the nation of Israel. Let's just skip a little bit and go to verse 44. "Our father had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he spoke to Moses, directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it in their turn, our fathers brought it in with Joshua upon dispossessing the nations whom God drove out before our fathers until the time of David. David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for God, the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose? Was it not my hand which made all these things? You men who are stiff-necked and are circumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You're doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your father not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels, and yet did not keep it. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the bigger picture. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside the robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. If you go home and read the entire chapter, it's a long chapter. It's a great summary of the story of salvation. See, the beginning of the story of God's big picture is not salvation. Salvation was just the needed reaction, the needed response to our human sin. It is what I want you to remember and take home with you. Our disobedience and our sin will never change God's plan. God's eternal plan will always prevail. The devil didn't win in the garden. He's not winning today. He will never win. It is not our, we don't even have to, we're not in a fight with anybody, in fact. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Do you agree with me on that? Have you read that scripture? Who is more than a conqueror? I mean, the most victorious person is the conqueror, right? Why does the Bible say that we are more than conqueror? The only person that is more than a conqueror is the person that doesn't fight the fight and enjoy the spoils. And that's us. We don't have to fight the fight. Jesus fought the fight and died on the cross. We spend the check. We enjoy the spoils. We don't have to fight with nobody. We're already winners. Can I get at least one amen to that? Just help me out here. That's important to understand. When the scripture says that God has a big picture, that big picture starts with creation. When sin came into the world, the devil thought that he can change God's plans, but he can't. God's plan remains forever. Let me zoom in, trying to go out and in. Let me zoom in a little bit on my life and your life. God calls you, calls me. Work with us. Devil's not happy about that. He brings all kinds of temptation, problems, and struggles to our life. Even with Job, if you read the Bible, the devil tried everything he can to destroy him. But God's perfect plan remained in victory to the end. The devil cannot change God's plan. He cannot. What you and I have to do is simply agree with God. And as you're listening to this sermon, you're probably thinking, man, so all what's happening to me, this is just attack from the devil. Yes, most probably. Don't give up. Don't lose focus of God's great plan for your life. Don't lose focus of the bigger picture. You and I are going to sit in thrones and we're going to govern the entire creation with God. That's the bigger picture. That's the bigger picture. But today, Paul and Peter and all the Bible says that we have to go through some afflictions. That we have to go through some trials. Like the gold is being purified by fire. Our faith is being purified. Because God is equipping us. I mean, if he's going to entrust you a few planets or a galaxy or whatever, you got to be equipped. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, if I give you a nation right now, you'd probably wreck it. Right? Imagine a galaxy. So to give you your real inheritance, that's what Jesus said in the gospel, to trust your inheritance, you got to be faithful with what you got now. What do I got now? You got time. Yeah. You got some money. It doesn't matter if it's $1 or 50 cents or $1 million. You got some money. You got some talent. I mean, if you're here, you have talent. At least you walk, right? That's a talent. There are people, I'm not joking, seriously. There are people that cannot walk. You got talent. Serious talents from God. He's giving you something. Be a great steward of that. That is equipping for the kingdom to come. If we're faithful in the little things that we have today, that is equipping time for the kingdom to come. God's bigger picture includes redemption and salvation. The fall didn't stop or divert God's plan. I see our sin and our fall like a speed bump in God's bigger picture. He just continued. Jesus came to pay the price of our sins and offer us a way back to God's bigger picture. Now, the price was extremely high. And we spoke about that a lot. But you can always think about it tonight. For God's bigger picture to continue, he himself had to pay the price. the price. He had to come, be a human, and pay for our sins. But let me jump to my last little point tonight. Salvation is not the end. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. And guys, I want to say that with all respect, and I don't even like to be here, but I need to be here for the camera. I say that with a lot of respect. Many Christians just want to be saved. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. I'm not saying you probably know everything, but there are some Christians that just want to be saved. That's all they want. I just want to make it. Even with a C-, I just want to make it. You're missing the point. It's not about making it. Jesus already gave you eternal life. It's not about making it. Salvation is simply the beginning of the bigger picture. Don't waste precious time on this planet to be trained for the bigger picture. Take advantage of every opportunity, says the Bible. There are so many precious verses in the Word of God. Whatever comes to your hand, do it with all your might. Why is the Bible saying that? Because you need to be trained. You need to be equipped for the bigger picture. I don't want to get to the kingdom of God and I feel like, man, I'm useless. What can I do? I cannot do nothing because I wasted my time on planet Earth. No, I want to make useful every minute on this planet to get equipped, to get prepared, not to make more money, not to be, you know, have more titles. None of that is bad. I want to be equipped for the eternal kingdom of God. Salvation is not the end. It's the beginning. When we understand that, guys, and I'm sorry if I'm being redundant. I am on purpose. When we understand that salvation is not the end, it's the beginning, then Christianity doesn't become boring. Right. Christianity doesn't become, oh, I just got to do disciple because otherwise pastors are going to rebuke me. No. You actually discipleship. You do discipleship because you're being equipped. You're being equipped for eternity. If you can't lead a life group, how are you going to lead a part of the universe? How are you going to co-govern with Christ in eternity? If we can't lead a tiny little life group, right? So when we understand that, when we have that mindset, then it's not duty. Suddenly, reading the Bible, it's not duty. It's equipping. It's joyful. Coming to church isn't like, oh, I gotta go because they want somebody to go on Wednesday night. No, it's like, I get to go because I get to be equipped more. I'm gonna be prepared for greater things for God. When we grasp that salvation is not the end, it's just the beginning. God never intended us to get a ticket on a bus to heaven and just waste the rest of the time. I'm just gonna be singing and waiting for him to come back. That's not in the scripture. God wants us, as long as we can breathe, to serve him, to get equipped, to get from victory to victory. Salvation is not the end, it's the beginning. So what is the end? God's bigger picture. I don't know the end, but I can finish saying that. God's bigger picture continue to the fulfillment of his divine purpose in creation. In other words, what he intended to do in Genesis 1:1, he can do it. All what happened between Genesis and when Jesus come back is just a speed bump. It's a big speed bump, but it's a speed bump. It didn't stop God's plan. It didn't take God's plan backward. He's dealing with it, but he will fulfill his purpose in creation. What he proposed in his heart. And what did he propose in his heart? Here it is. I'm going to summarize it because of time. Number one, a restored creation joyfully submitted to his divine will. Joyfully. So, you know, Bolden put some, yeah, joyfully. Not, oh, I got to submit to God. No, yay, I get to submit to God. That's the idea. A restored creation joyfully submitted to his divine will. Doesn't the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the entire creation is groaning, right? It's just waiting. I need God to come back. Number two, a redeemed people walking with him willingly and serving him joyfully for eternity. That was his divine purpose, and he's going to accomplish it. There will be no more trees, no more serpents, no more temptation. We're never going to lose our free will, but we're going to be wise enough to understand we want to follow him for eternity. Let's just say it like that. I don't know exactly how it's going to be because the Bible itself says that. We don't know how we're going to be, but we know we're going to be like him because we will see him as he is. If we have all the details, I mean, I know you and I, we like details. Like, even when I rent a movie, now was Blu-ray, and, you know, I go to the end and see the last scene. If the hero wins, I watch the movie. If the hero doesn't win, I'm not going to waste my time. I don't like defeat. I like winning. But I fast-forwarded to Revelation 21 and 22, and our hero wins! So we can watch the movie. A redeemed people walking with him willingly and serving him joyfully for eternity. Here's a last comment. Paul summarized it like that. What is the bigger picture? The bigger picture is restored creation. The bigger picture is a redeemed people. But Paul says that the bigger picture is what eyes cannot see, what ears cannot hear, what minds cannot imagine for infinity and beyond. That is what God has in store for you and I. What we cannot even imagine. In other words, we're not going to get into eternity. We're going to learn everything in a week, and then we're going to be bored for eternity. No. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to learn. We're going to continue to advance. The kingdom of God will never stop for eternity and beyond. It will never stop. That's the bigger picture. Now, how many of you would like to live for that big picture? I tried to paint it for you. How many of you would like to live for that big picture? Well, friend, I appreciate your hands. Here's my respectful recommendation before we take some time and pray. If you want to live for that big picture, walk every day, take every decision, invest every valuable time, talent, and treasure that you have to get to the big picture. Every minute, every dime, every talent that you spend diverted from the big picture is a waste. Every decision that you and I make that doesn't get us closer to the bigger picture is a waste. Let's live every minute of our life investing it to get bigger and to get closer and closer to the bigger picture that God has for our lives. Because we can be equipped here to be fruitful in eternity. Can we stand and pray together? Please forgive me if I was a little bit yelling tonight. I'm not usually that passionate, but I'm passionate about this subject. I am passionate about believing that we've got something to bring to the kingdom of God. None of us is called to be, seat warmer. We're not. We're leaders in the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for every man and every woman in this house and watching us online. Thank you for kings and queens in preparation, because that is what every one of us is. We're being prepared by you. We're being prepared by you to walk with you for eternity, for your divine purpose, for your divine glory, for what you have already determined, which we do not know. We just know it's going to be amazing. And we know that we're going to sit with you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to serve with you. Lord, it's going to be glorious. But till that perfection come, allow us to experience it on this planet, walking with you every day in our prayer, in our Bible study, in our life group, in our church, in our ministry, in our reaching out to the lost. Allow us to experience the fullness of the kingdom to come, to just have a taste of how is it going to be. Allow us today, Lord, as we obey every one of your requests and command from us, we can feel that presence that is going to carry us into a life with you. In Jesus' name we pray.